Arizona Public Media's newest television documentary is Barrios and Barriers, the Tucson Civil Rights Era. It's a collection of personal stories about not only the segregation and racism that impacted the lives of Tucson residents, but also of the triumphs that were made in overcoming racism. Our city has had a racially diverse population since it was founded on Native American land over 235 years ago. While different cultures have often lived here together in harmony, it's not always been the case. In the mid-20th century, racism in Tucson was practiced both quietly and overtly. Some of the most open discrimination could be found in public places, like movie theaters, as we'll hear next from Morgan Maxwell Jr., Alva Torres, Anna Jolivet, and Mary Malaby.
At the Fox Theater, we had what is known as the crow's nest, that we would sit in the top three rows, and all my white friends, we would meet and go to the downstairs at the popcorn stand. Then I'd go upstairs, and they'd all stay on the down on the first floor, and then we would meet afterwards.
They all went upstairs, all of them, every single one of them, and we had to sit downstairs. But I remember if you went to the Mexican theater, La Plaza, there was no segregation.
There were places we couldn't go, and we knew that we couldn't go, and we didn't attempt to go. They didn't have any signs up saying that this is, you know, no blacks allowed or no Negroes allowed or no African-Americans allowed. It was just an unwritten law.
The Chinese were not allowed in certain clubs. But the Chinese were very cohesive, very cohesive. We never knew that anybody was different until we started, you know, little by little realizing that he couldn't buy property, we couldn't get married.
Many of the discriminatory practices, such as barring interracial marriages, were written into Arizona law. Other forms of racism were not bound by statutes, but were no less harmful. As told by retired Arizona Supreme Court Judge Stanley Feldman and attorney Edward Morgan.
I couldn't get an interview with any firm in Tucson. Again, it's a Jewish-sounding name, and there were no Jewish lawyers who were employed by any of those firms. Nobody said, well, you're Jewish and we didn't hire, but it was remarkable I couldn't get an interview because I graduated first in the class.
No one got up and said, we hate Jews. You just don't act the same with them. You keep them from housing, and you don't hire them. And that subtle persuasion, that underground attitude of hate, worked all the time.
Prejudice occurred not just against one's religion or skin color, but also ethnicity. The residents of some of Tucson's oldest communities, the barrios where Guadalupe Castillo grew up, suffered many levels of discrimination.
There was, a limit as to what kind of jobs were the Mexican jobs, what jobs were for blacks, and so forth. So certainly economically, it was very clear. You could also see the difference in where, in the segregated neighborhoods. Unpaved streets, often outhouses, services that were available in other areas of Tucson, were not available in these neighborhoods. The poverty was an economic factor in our lives, but we had a very rich life with our neighbors and all the people who were around us.
The diversity of neighborhoods was controlled by legal real estate documents called CC&Rs, Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions. These barred non-white, non-Christian families from buying property in certain areas. Many individuals acted to change these and other discriminatory laws. Stanley Feldman.
If people hadn't been willing to protest, to fight about it, to do something about it, I don't know how long it would have continued. My parents were willing to move into Kelowna, Solana, even if they were going to have a fight and to go to court over the subdivision restrictions. We didn't have this kind of thing in our home. I mean, I sort of was brought up with the idea that everybody, you judge them by what they are, who they are, you know, not by how they look or how they dress or where they go to services or church or synagogue or whatever it is.
While change began with individuals and families, it took communities to bring about lasting change. Change not just to boundaries and infrastructure, but to the psyche as well. Guadalupe Castillo again.
But not only was it in terms of material things that were important because it led to better health, better educated individuals, but that it also led to a psychic sense of knowing we are, you know, Mexicanos, and we have a right to be first-class citizens, and we have a right to call ourselves Mexicanos. You know, that's our history, that's our culture, but we're also U.S. citizens, you know, and we have a right to have that sense of ourselves. I think that kind of community, communal, and individual, liberation was very key.
Whether by individual acts, public protests, or through the courts, discrimination in Tucson has changed over the last half century. But for some people, like Anna Jolivet, the change falls short.
I'd say that we have made great progress, but we still have a long way to go because there are still some situations in which there is failure to accept all people.
That story was produced by Tom Klesby and Martine Rubio, with narration by Gisela Tellis. Arizona Public Media presents Barrios and Barriers, the Tucson Civil Rights Era, on Monday, May 9th at 9 o'clock on PBS HD Channel 6. There's more information online at azpm.org.